Monster Man, episode 422, Insect and Insect Swarm.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we do that, a quick bit of administration. Now, this will seem like it comes very late. That's because these episodes are being recorded so far in advance. But it's time to thank a patron. That's right, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's patron, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is in the middle of a season about the mythology of Hawaii. So thank you very much to returning patron, Ray Hinojosa. Your support means a lot to me. All right, let's start off with the insect. And I tell you something, good for you, Monstrous Manual, a single encyclopedic entry that combines 28 different monsters into two pages. Well done. And most of these monsters have entries that are about as long as they merit. For instance, the ant, giant, which is an ant, which is big. People know what ants are. They know what big means. Everything you need to know to use ants, giant in your game is right here. Fantastic. The majority of these monsters have previously appeared in other books. There are three that we haven't covered so far, and it is the nature of the thing that these are a little weirder. They're not beetle, giant or whatever, which did have its own entry now that I think about it, so I'm not sure what that's all about. Anyway, the three that we haven't seen so far are the Aratha, the Firefly, with a Y, I mean, with two Ys, I guess, and the Horax. So the descriptions of these are actually, in the case of the Aratha anyway, I don't get a lot here. We're told that it has clawed tentacles and that it is psychic. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that this is a Dark Sun monster. If it just said clawed tentacles and it just said psychic, I would still probably bet on Dark Sun. But like clawed tentacles plus psychic, I'm going to say 75% chance Dark Sun and maybe like 20% Spelljammer, 5% Other. That's fine. I feel like clawed tentacles aren't a very insectoid feature. The kind of rigidity of the creature is a big part of the insectoid aesthetic, so I don't know what the Aratha's tentacles are attached to. Maybe it's very obviously a bug. Perhaps I will find out more when we do Dark Sun, but this one is a brief description and a block of psychic stats. Then we have the Firefly. Now that's a Firefly, not a Firefly. This is a Firefly with a Y. And that is a Firefly that has actual fire. That is, when it like brushes against things, it sets them on fire. So at an individual level, they're not amazingly dangerous, but at low levels, they can be a threat, and they're always a nuisance. Because they can, you know, light your clothes on fire, light your, well, probably not your boots of elvenkind, but they can light your other, like, flammable objects. You know, you don't want your arrows plus one to catch fire or your cloak. So you can have some fun with characters, like, dousing themselves with water before they go through an area that has a bunch of fireflies in it, or, like, trying to catch them in a jar to throw them at enemies later on. You know, all that kind of thing. Now, you always want to be a little careful about encouraging player characters' arsonist tendencies. People sometimes have funny ideas about what fire can and can't do, and like what situations can and can't be improved by starting fires, but this is a fun tool, and it, you know, it puts toys in the toy box, which is something that I like. Next up, we have the Horax. Now, I believe that this is a Dragonlance monster, and I looked it up, and it is a kind of sort of heavily armored centipede. And its gimmick, which I believe this is true of some insects in the real world, is that it like bites someone with its mandibles, and then it locks them in place, and it's very hard to remove. So even if, you know, it doesn't kill you when it bites into you with these big sharp mandibles, now you have to drag this armored centipede around with you while you're presumably trying to fend off, you know, giants, desert, or whatever. This is a good example of a complication monster, which I think is a role that if you're inventing wildlife monsters, you should be thinking about. Because I think, particularly in 2022, but maybe always, player characters are more reluctant to kill local wildlife that is just looking for dinner. And stand-up fights with such creatures are not always tactically very interesting anyway, or dramatically very interesting, because they don't, you know, have personalities and they don't have dialogue. So there's value in creating wildlife monsters that produce complications in other situations. We can either boot in the door and go at these bugbears head-on, or we can sneak through that meadow to get to their lair from a direction they don't expect, but oh no, it turns out the meadow is full of fireflies. Now we have to avoid them while also doing this other thing. You know, we thought that the bad guys had left this approach to their base unguarded, but it turns out that no one goes through that area because it's full of horaxes. Horaces? I don't know. That kind of thing. But it's always nice when you can combine that with a good, like, real-world animal fact. I think that there's, you know, we love them when we're kids. Everybody loves to learn and know animal facts. And I actually think people seldom grow out of that. People are fond in general of knowing an animal fact. Following on from insects, we have insect swarms. There are two kinds of insect swarms, which I'm sure is not right, but never mind. You got your grasshoppers and locusts, which are, you know, grasshoppers and locusts. And you got your velvet ants. The velvet ants swarm over targets and bite them without rolling to hit. It's just like a flat percentage chance that if you are in the swarm, you get bitten, which I think is a fine way to do it, rather than just kind of rolling 80 billion attacks for 80 billion not very high to hit creatures. And the poison that they inflict is extremely painful and therefore, like, causes penalties on future things because you're so distracted by, you know, how much this bite that the velvet ants gave you is burning or whatever. Perfectly fine. Another complication monster. Characters are probably not going to go head to head in a death-defying battle against the velvet ants, but very much the kind of, like, a staple of a sort of outdoorsy adventure fiction of the weasels ripped my flesh variety, where crossing unfamiliar landscapes and risking harm, but also sort of just, like, enduring hardship is part of that narrative, that mood. I would say that, you know, I was going to say that I feel like that went away in role-playing games. I actually don't know that it's that simple. I do think that a commitment to expressing that by modeling the details of overland travel no longer really exists. But I do think that, I mean, certainly in video games, you see that grim-wearing journeys are popular. They're in things. So maybe there's still space for this kind of thing in fantasy RPGs. But as long as it doesn't involve a lot of, like, tracking of water rations. I don't know, I could be wrong. But all right, so we got through 3 pages, and we got 30 monster entries. That's fantastic. I am a little perplexed about why some things are in the list and others aren't. I imagine it's just to do with how long their entries would have been. But overall, not bad, Monstrous Manual. The information efficiency has been getting better and better. We'll see if it holds up. All right, that is about all the insect monsters that we've got time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for AD&D 2nd Edition. And we're going to be looking at, well, a real odd duck of a monster. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.